Please turn with me again to the book of Proverbs. I'm going to read a few selected verses. Proverbs, we'll begin with chapter 6. May I say that we can understand that the Scripture, in Proverbs we see this, that God warns us about strangers and warns us about enemies. Warns us particularly about strangers who are luring us in an immoral way, and enemies, of course, that would persecute. We need to be very careful in our relationships with strangers and enemies to make sure they're gospel relationships and be careful that we're not affected. We should overcome evil with good. But the Bible also warns us about friends. Even in the Christian church, we have to be very careful about being proper friends and relating to those that are in the church as in a friendly relationship. Proverbs chapter 6, I'll read verses 1 to 3. My son, if thou be surety for thy friend, if thou hast stricken thy hand with a stranger, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth, thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. The picture here is shaking hands, stricken, a covenant. Obviously, the first thing we would think about is borrowing money, but more than that, it's a covenant relationship. Be very careful who you enter into a covenant with a friend. Do this now, my son, and deliver thyself when thou art come into the hand of thy friend. Go humble thyself and make sure thy friend. Be sure of someone before you enter into a close relationship. And you can apply this in many ways, obviously, marriage, a church, and so on. But there is a caution about friendship. We turn further to chapter 17. We read this together in verse 17. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. You see how friends can have a very positive influence as well as negative. Chapter 19 and verse 4. Keep the tip of your finger moist. Wealth maketh many friends, but the poor is separated from his neighbor. So you can see there can be friends that are made for the wrong reason, and friends that can be a negative influence. Chapter 27. Verse 6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. A true friend will rebuke us when we do wrong, will not align with us in wrongdoing. Chapter 27 and verse 9. Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart, so doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. So a good friend is there to counsel, to advise, which should bring great joy to the heart. Verse 10. Thine own friend and thy father's friend, forsake not. And so we find here that when you find a good friend, keep him, keep her, because they're very rare. Chapter 27, verse 17. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. And there was one other text that I missed, and it was chapter 17, verse 17. I misquoted it earearlier. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. That was the latter part of that text we considered last week. A friend loveth at all times. He's consistent. And so the Scripture gives us indications about the kind of friend that we need to align with, the kind of person that we need to marry, the kind of church that we need to be brothers and sisters in covenant with. You can extend this on. The kind of Christian friend that we need to spend much time with. It's going to be a good and not a poor influence upon us. But the particular text I want us to think about today is in chapter 18. Chapter 18. The last verse, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. We have been considering in the last few months, messages on the family and different members of the family. This is a related issue, a message on friendship. And the text is verse 24 of chapter 18. I want us to think about the thought selective friendship or selective of friendship. Scripture advises that we are very careful to select those that we enter into covenant relationship with, those that we spend a lot of time with, those that we share innermost thoughts, and those that we are knit together with. And again, I say that Proverbs and the rest of the Bible warns us about strangers and enemies as harmful influences. But the Bible also recommends that we are very cautious about those that we would consider as even friends, friendly in the gospel, that they too need to be subject to the scrutiny of character traits, of godliness and holiness. Because just because someone is a believer doesn't necessarily mean that they're a believer that you should enter into a covenant relationship with, whether it be a spouse, whether it be a brother or sister in the Lord, whether it be someone that you spend a lot of time with as far as sharing your inmost thoughts. I would think that every believer that we do brush shoulders with, we should encourage, we should exhort, we should be a help to. But as far as subjecting ourselves to their influence, we've got to be very careful. Scripture cautions us even about friends. The kinds of friends that we have, the kind of friend that we are. Peers and contemporaries. I think the saying is true, that a man is known by the friends he keeps. The Bible teaches that we need to beware of having relationships, evil companions certainly corrupt good manners. But there can be friends that may not help us on to God either. Commonly, chapter 18, verse 24 is used to teach friendliness. It says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And it seems clear-cut enough that if you desire friends, you need to be friendly. Now, that is true. Love begets love. Someone that usually doesn't have, when I say a friend, because we have to be careful, someone with a very few select friends may indicate indeed a very wise person. Now, we can be friendly, but we have to be very careful who we allow as our influential friends. Now, love begets love, and the Lord taught us to love one another. The Lord taught us, as Peter said later in the New Testament, be courteous, be friendly. We ought to be friendly people. But here's another one of those translation awarenesses. The verb that's translated, must show himself friendly, is from another verb which means to be broken up, to be hurt, to be destroyed. And we believe it's the same verb that's translated in chapter 13, verse 20 this way. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. And there is some discrepancy about what that verb is in 18:24. And again, what I say is that it is true that love begets love. That if you're gonna have friends, you've got to be friendly. In other words, if you're going to draw people, to win souls, you've got to be friendly. But the text is in an antithetic context. In other words, opposites. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, but there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And so the fact that it's really indicating opposites, and the fact that there's a warning here, and that this verb is most likely to be broken up, indicates that the verse is not teaching friendliness. It's teaching selection of your friends. That if you aren't select, you will be broken up. If you're just a person that always develops casual friendships and just is like a magnet and just wants to be just pile friends around you, you're going to be hurt. You're going to be destroyed. Just like it says, wealth maketh many friends. And so you build friends around you, but when you become like the prodigal and lose everything, nobody wants you anymore. And you go and feed pigs. And the warning here is to select that friend that sticketh closer than a brother. To be careful about who you're spending time with and who you're opening up to and who you're listening to. It's a warning here. Flypaper brings a lot of flies. If we're just a magnet and glue to all kinds of people, then we're going to find ourselves broken up, hurt, even destroyed. And we find that throughout Scripture. We have examples of those who just piled friends to themselves and they were destroyed. I don't think that Lot helped the matter by just moving in and becoming friends with the world. Destroyed his family and nearly destroyed him. So this text is teaching that we need to be selective in our friendships, looking for that reliable friend, that reliable associate. So it's teaching judgment, discernment. It's teaching us that we need to be particular with our friends. Finicky. Exclusive, choosy. Now here's again where, you know, we find that in translation sometimes there are difficulties, and don't be alarmed because this text is teaching something different than it seems in the surface. Because the rest of the Bible teaches the truth that if you're going to win souls, you need to be friendly, you need to be loving, you need to be people oriented, soul conscious. And we can find that throughout the Scriptures. But that this particular text is teaching us to be selective in our friendships for the reasons that I showed us. And you can check with the reliable commentaries as well. And you look in the Hebrew and that particular verb is most likely the verb that's translated broken up and destroyed, for instance, in Proverbs 13, verse 20. So my concern this morning is that we're cautioned that the Scripture urges selective friendship for the help and preservation of our souls, because wrong friends can hurt terribly. And there is a friend, that is, who will help us, that sticks closer than a brother. There is a reliable friend, and may there be reliable friends in the church, in the kingdom of God, that can help us. And may we become a reliable friend to souls to help them on to God. Selective friendship. The Bible teaches that we do need true friendship. That's obvious from this context and from the teaching of Scripture that God made us social beings. He didn't make us monks and nuns. He made us to get along. He made us to associate. He interacted with people. Jesus made friends. Jesus committed Himself. He called us friends, for instance. The Bible says there are times He didn't commit Himself to people because He knew what was in man. He knew that they would just be casual in their relationship, that they would forsake Him when things got difficult. And even His friends forsook Him. But a friend should love at all times, and the disciples sinned in forsaking Christ. But the Lord said of Adam, it is not good that man should be alone. He made Eve. He made Adam's best friend. He made Adam a friend, a bosom friend. He made Eve. He gave Adam a wife. He made them male and female. So marriage is indeed a fulfillment of Scripture. The marriage should be the uniting of two friends. Two who love one another. The word friend in the Scripture, it's translated friend in our English, translates at least two words. One, neighbor. Love thy neighbor as thyself. The same word that's translated friend often in Proverbs. And the word friend is the translation of the word loved one. So a friend should be someone who's close, a neighbor, someone who's near, someone who's affiliated, someone who has the same interests, someone who sacrifices and who gives and takes, and someone who loves at all times. Of course, the Bible's full of friendships beyond marriage. I mean, God made, in the first family, He gave Abel to Cain. Cain and Abel should have been friends. Brothers and sisters should be friends. God made friends within the family. As far as we can see in the Scripture, and I think you would agree with this, there shouldn't be anyone closer, humanly speaking, to you than your spouse. But beyond that, brothers and sisters, and especially brothers and sisters, not just in flesh and blood, but in spirit, shouldn't be any closer. Christ chose brothers, sets of brothers, as His apostles. Certainly to prove His grace, because in a sinful world, there's sibling rivalry when there shouldn't be. He gave Shem and Ham and Japheth to each other. We have David and Jonathan developing a tremendous friendship. Jeremiah and Baruch, Ruth and Naomi, Paul and Barnabas, Peter and John, Mary and Elizabeth. We need friendships in an unfallen, or men needed friendships in an unfallen world. Adam needed Eve. How much more do we need friendships in a fallen world? Remember Ecclesiastes 4:9, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one shall lift up his fellow. But woe to him that falls, and there's none, not another to lift him up. Not only will there be productive labor when there's two working together, but there'll be encouragement and trial. And there are many other scriptural benefits to friendships. Friends love at all times. There's companionship. There's the friend that layeth down his life for his friend. No greater love than a man can have to lay down his life for his friend. Job said, pity should be showed to your friends, but you're miserable counselors. A friend should love. A friend should sacrifice. A friend should pity you in your needs. A friend should counsel you with sweetness, like the ointment in chapter 27, verse 9. A friend counsels. A friend helps. A friend should be able to use the Scriptures to help one another. A friend reproves for restoration, faithful to the wounds of a friend. If you have a person that you're calling your friend and they never rebuke you when you do wrong, they're afraid to tell you to do right. There's a problem there. That's not a friend. A friend wounds. That physician's friendly that has to take the knife to cut the cancer out. Woe on you if all men speak well of you. There's somebody who gathers all kinds of friends. But they're not friends. They're speaking all well of you when we know that we need rebuke at times. Of course, that's warning us about false prophets. A friend is someone who's an example and an inspiration for your growth. Iron sharpens iron. Can you say in your friendship that they're helping me on to God? That I'm encouraged to pray when I'm with them? That I'm encouraged to do right? That I walk away and my soul's been blessed? I've been edified. I've been challenged. The presence of God has been sensed in my relationship. Or is it all earthly and temporal and temporary? The New Testament church is full of people that are helping each other, full of people that sacrifice for one another. They all have things common. Full of people who are sacrificing their gifts for the use of others. Full of verses that are speaking of mutual relationships and not just independence. Love one another. Forgive one another. Be courteous to one another. It's all one another. It's not me, myself, and I. It's others. 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 Look not on even at his own things, but on things of others. Let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus. We do need friendship. But if there's not a bosom friend, better to be selective. And we know there is one friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And we can say, if I have to have Christ and no other, if my choice is friends that aren't friends at all, friends that don't reprove me, friends that don't give me sweet counsel, that don't show pity, that aren't sacrificial, that aren't helpful for me on to God, better not have friends. But better if there could be indeed those friends. We do need true friendship. Secondly, casual friendships are harmful. We need true friendship, but let's not panic. Because the Bible warns about casual friendships that are harmful. In a fallen world, there are deceitful people. This verse says, a man or a woman of friends shall be hurt. Friendship can be idolatrous. I've got to have a friend. No, you don't. Because Christ is the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. No, you don't. You've got to have the Lord. You've got to have Christ. If Christ isn't your best friend, then you're not ready for a friend unless that friend points you to Christ. The idolatry of friendship is rampant today, and the Scripture teaches this. Friendship is not the end. Friendship is a means to your relationship with Christ. So beware of friends, in the plural. Beware of surface friends, miserable friends, masked enemies in many cases. For even Christians can be harmful to one another. Lot wasn't helpful. What kind of friends did he encourage his daughters, his sons to make? Destroyed them. Let's beware of mistaken reliance. Unreliable friends that desert in distress. Ahithophel was a friend of David. But Ahithophel deserted him when he needed him most. But the Bible says a friend loveth at all times. Demas was a friend, but Demas forsook Paul when he needed him the most. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Of course, beware of evil friends. Jonadab was not a friend to Amnon. Amnon had a friend named Jonadab. Go commit incest with your sister. What kind of friend was Jonadab? led to the demise of Amnon. Friends can be fickle. The crowd was shouting, "Hosanna to the Lord Jesus." But just a few days later, they were shouting, "Crucify Him!" Friends, beware of unsaved people that are friends. The Bible says, "Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers." You ought never to be bosom body with a person who's lost. Beware of multiplying casual, superficial friendships. And these can happen for several reasons. We're lonely and we panic. Wait on the Lord. We're naive and we're just trusting. Be wise. The Scripture over in the book of Proverbs is a book for wisdom. Be wise. Make sure your friend. Wait. Evaluate. Wealth, of course, can be a terrible reason for friends. Wealth maketh many friends. The prodigal, when he had money, no doubt had a lot of friends. But he was abandoned when he got bankrupt. So sad to see people flock for those who give gifts. You remember several times at the stadium where outside the gates they're handing out free Pepsi or free food. And we're crying out to people that they'll receive literature that'll help them to find the Lord and soul food. And flocks of people to these coolers that they bring, free Pepsi. And then they rush over when they see a track and they think they have a lottery ticket or they think that they have some coupon for some food for their body and they see it's a tract and terrible. I mean, it's like it was poison. How men and women rush after things that cannot satisfy. Popularity is a terrible reason for drawing friends. Woe unto you if all men speak well of you. So they spoke of the false prophets. And where did the false prophets lead the people? Into fornication. Into hell. Worldliness is a way to attract many friends. My son, if sinners entice you, consent thou not. The world passes away in the lust thereof. Don't love the world. The wicked will be turned into hell and they'll turn others into hell as well. You're a friend of the world and you'll be an enmity with God. If you've gained friends because of wealth and popularity and worldliness and naive trust and panic, disentangle yourself like it says in Proverbs. My son, go to thy friend. Undo this entanglement, is in other words, the writer indicates. Get out of this covenant. When we're impulsive, we enter into these covenant relationships, rash engagements, sureties for debts. And you see this on the surface, people always getting loans. A loan for this and a loan for that and a loan for the other thing. Yes, that's certainly on the surface what the Lord is warning here. But He's going deeper than that. He's talking about friendships. He's talking about relationships. Rash engagements lead to divorce, to debt, to bitterness, even to death. Think about recently seeing a TV documentary of a doctor that allowed a divorced woman into his life and it led to his death. He couldn't say no. She shot him to death. Panic is a warning. Don't panic. The Lord is all wise. Wait on the Lord. And when you think your waiting is over, what does he end up saying? Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage and He will strengthen your heart. But Lord, I've been waiting. Lord, my heart is weak. What does He say? Wait, I say,
on the Lord. He's never late. Sometimes He's early, but He's never late. His word is true. Blessed is the man or the woman that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. That's always true. In other words, don't get close relationships with oaths like that. Casual friendships are harmful. But reliable friends are rare but available. Selective friendship. I will make him an helpmeet for him. I will make him a helper fit for him. The Lord is saying, I'll give you a friend that is fit for you. I'll give you a spouse fit for you. I'll give you a brother and a sister fit for you. I'll give you a church fit for you. I'll give you those that will sharpen your countenance, those that will help you along with God, those that will help your growth. But He doesn't promise it immediately. And He brought Eve to the man. How long was Adam with the Lord before He created Eve? We're not told, but long enough for Adam to love the Lord with all of his heart. Long enough for the Lord to show Adam, Adam, do not allow any of my creatures to become an idol. How long before the Lord gives me that fit friend? Long enough for you to learn that the Lord is jealous of your love. Woe be unto us if we're spouses that prevent our spouses from the Lord. Woe be unto us if we are separating our spouses from the Lord. If we're idols. If we want our spouses to worship us. Reliable friends are rare, but they're available. And the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David. I love that text. David had defeated Goliath and helped the people on to God. And Jonathan says, there's a man that I want to be my friend. There's a man who is fearless. There's a man who loves his God. There's a man who's bold. There's a man who takes persecution with love. That's the man I want to be a friend to. And that's the person that will gain, again, who's going to draw your attention? There's a problem if we're drawing the attention of people unlike David. And I have to look, what kind of man am I? If I'm drawing people that are not the kind of friends that I want to have, that someone would ever want to have, then I must be the friend that's casual, that's unreliable, that's hurtful. Now it's time for me to go back to the drawing board. For me to go back to God. For me to go back and say, oh God, change me. Break me, Lord. That I'll be the kind of friend that people need. And that I'll then be able to discern and attract the friends that I need. What did He say to Mary? He didn't say, woman, behold thy friend and pick out some lost rascal. He said, woman, behold John. He couldn't even say, woman, behold my brothers. John was reliable, but Joseph and James and Jude and Simon were unreliable. It's a sad thing, but it's honest if we can say, look, I can't even entrust you with my brother or sister, with my son or daughter. But we better be honest than hurt someone else. And we certainly want the same to be true for our brother and sister and our son or our daughter. We don't dare want them to marry or to associate intimately with someone that's going to be hurtful to them. And it's in our best interest to be their keeper. Or they'll be destroyed. We've seen too many tragic ends to people who gave in to the whims and the cries and the panic. They gained their finger to walk an aisle and forsake their God just hours after. And behold, a certain disciple named Timothy was there. I love that text. Paul needed a good friend to help him to minister the word, and he was found there way up in Gentile land. I like the text in John 19:39. Here's Joseph trying to get some boldness and dareness to go out alone to get Jesus' body, and he just needed that friend, didn't he? And we read, then came Nicodemus. Don't you love how the Lord put them both together to go out in the afternoon sun after the sun appeared again in the light of all the Pharisees that were all so happy that Christ had died and all wanting to persecute the other believers. And here comes Joseph and Nicodemus. They became good friends. Let's carry the body of Christ right under the noses of these rabbis. That's the kind of friend you want and the kind of friend you want to be. It'll stick with you thick and thin. That'll go through persecution as well as blessing. It's a blessing to be persecuted. Better to wait than to waste your one life. Only one life. There's only one spouse for you and me. There's only one congregation for you and me. Better one good friend who loves the Lord and loves you. I read about friendship in Acts chapter 2. They continued steadfastly. There's that stick-to-itiveness. A friend sticketh closer than a brother. They continued steadfastly. They gave constant attention to doctrine and fellowship, breaking of bread and prayer. It says, and all the believers were together and had all things common. So that when persecution broke out, they didn't scatter back to their homes and scatter back to their being masked believers. They scattered everywhere together, preaching the gospel. They were friends. Friends are described in Hebrews 10:25, exhorting one another as you see the day approaching. I like how the Lord changed His brothers into friends, and Mary was now reunited with her other sons. It says in Acts 1:14 that the 11 disciples had gathered to pray with Mary and with the other women and with his brothers. They were with her now. Now they became friends. And now, in a sense, John could say, Mary, I don't think you need me anymore. I've got some work to do. I've got some preaching. John went on to preach with Peter, and I wonder at that point if now was time for Mary to be able to live under the same roof with one of her sons. It says in Acts 2, they all had one mind. That's a good friend, someone who has the same mind, that is, about the things of God. Same mind, sound doctrine. A good friend will have sound doctrine, the apostles' doctrine, sound practice of the doctrine, fellowship, sound worship, breaking of bread, and constantly together at the throne of grace. Let me just say, we are not a friend to someone, nor is someone a friend to us, if we can't pray together. That's not a friend who can't pray. Beware of someone that doesn't want to pray. Reliable friends are rare, but they're available. Become that friend. Become that friend, brother and sister. They're rare. Be a rare friend so that you can be available to people who need friends desperately. Can be that rescuer of someone who's groping for friends. And the devil's tempting him to grope and to grab on to the wrong friends. In this congregation, we should be friends to each other. We should be careful that we're faithful true. We're not fair weather friends. But having said all this, how could I not but conclude that Christ is that friend, that brother that's closest and most faithful and most helpful? When we talk about selecting friends, the best friend of the sinner and the saint is the Lord Jesus Christ. How can this verse not be messianic? There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. This has messianic flavor, doesn't it? It's the Lord Jesus that's closest. Closer than a brother. How much closer than a brother can you get? A brother that's a friend? Isn't this taking us vertically up? Look up like Thomas, my Lord and my God. If you don't have any friends, you have a friend who's faithful, who's true, who doesn't just help us in temporal things, he helps us eternally. This word sticketh closer. It's the word joined. It's used of a tongue that's clinging to the dry mouth, speaking of thirst. It's used of Ruth who clave to her mother-in-law. My soul that followeth hard after thee. It's used, yes, of the marriage relationship to leave and cleave. May I say that it's the Lord Jesus that joins closer than a brother. Christ persevered in the completion of our atonement. Christ brought us into union with Himself in the gospel. And it is Christ that will never leave nor forsake us. He'll never dissolve that gospel union with us. He is faithful to the end. He's the one that was born for adversity. He was born for our distress because He saved us from it. He's the friend of publicans and sinners. He's the friend that loveth at all times. He remained true through tribulation. And when we are going through tribulation, the Lord remains our Savior and friend. He reproves us when we sin. He wounds us. He provides for us and protects us and preserves us and comforts us. He counsels us as sweetness to the soul. I think about the illustration of Mary when she broke that flask and the ointment, the perfume smell just wafted and filled the whole room. What an illustration. Here's a man whose counsel, whose influence just is pervasive. The Lord Jesus is that ointment that sweetens the soul. He deigns to call us friends. Listen to what He said to His disciples. Ye are they who have continued with me in my temptations. All their fickleness and all their sins, and yet He says, you've been friends. You've continued with me. And we all say, Lord, when have we continued with you? We have been so fickle and unfaithful. We have fallen and flopped again into the mud of our wickedness and gone again and sinned again and again. Lord, we don't need to ask 7 times, but 70 times 7 to forgive our sins. And yet the Lord would say, because He was wounded for us, because He sees no iniquity in Jacob, ye are they that continue with me in my temptations. Lord, we want to persevere to the end. We want to be here when it's not fashionable to meet as Christians. It's easy for us to walk in here. Nobody's persecuting us. No snipers are shooting us. No one is taking a knife and slitting our throats like they're in Egypt. You become a Christian in Egypt and you want to change your license from Islam, your religion on your license from Islam to Christianity, you're immediately persecuted. Often arrested. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Of Abraham, it says he was called the friend of God. And a true friend, we remind one another, is one who will lay down his life. The Lord says, A man will lay down his life for his friends. John 15:13. The Good Samaritan was a good neighbor, but it's the same word and idea. He was a good friend. And the story of the Good Samaritan is not, who am I looking for a friend, more than who can I be a friend to? And as you and I are busy loving people and discerning about the relationships, yes, the Lord indeed will help us to discover someone who will be a good Samaritan to us in our time of need. Christ is the friend for sinners. Christ is the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. But are we willing to follow Him and become that reliable friend as Jesus is? To be that reliable friend to lost people that will point them to Christ? To be an effect upon them and not to have them an effect adversely upon us? What about being a friend of reliable saints? Being an influence to make someone a reliable friend? Join yourself only to reliable spouses. A reliable friend who will be your spouse. A reliable person who will be your brother and sister. And a good friend. Be selective in your friendships. Can't stress that enough. In a day when peer pressure is immense, not just for young people, but older people. Beware of the wrong peers. Selective friendships. This is the Lord's caution to us today. Be selective in your friends. Be a friend first that's reliable. And be careful that you align yourselves only with those that are reliable people. Christ.